Turn in your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 16. If you listen to the message I brought at Ambassador College, you may hear a few little similarities between it and this message. I prepared this message first and had it completely finished, and then a couple of days later prepared one to preach at the college. And because I preached on the church at the college, it had a little similarity to some of the texts I use today. We've been talking about heaven, how to get there, when are we going to go there, what is it like when we get there. As the ages pass, the Bible says there'll be a new heaven and a new earth that God will create for us to dwell with Him for all eternity. We've looked at the accountability we'll have when we get to heaven. First thing that's going to happen in the rapture, we're going to shed this skin. I don't like to think of it like a snake shedding its skin. I like to think of it like a butterfly, you know, cracking out of the cocoon and going to be with the Lord. We're going to get a new body. That alone removes all the sinfulness of our old nature and the sinful body. Then we're going to go before the judgment seat of Christ, and our rewards will be issued, and we'll see an accounting of our life. And through that experience, Christ is sanctifying and cleansing and preparing the bride to be presented unto Himself. Now, the English word church comes from two Greek words, ekklesia. It means a called out assembly. You could call a town meeting, it would be ekklesia. But this is the church of Jesus Christ, the meeting that God hath called together. You are members of this church because you believe that God hath led you here and brought you to this church to be a part of His church and to worship Him and serve Him. In Matthew 16 and verse 17, Jesus had asked who the people thought He was, and now He asked Peter, and Simon Peter answered that thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Response to that, Jesus said, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Verse number 18. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The church, the called out assembly that Jesus Christ is building, is a part of every blood-bought believer who's truly saved is a part of the church of Jesus Christ, the body of Christ. We receive Christ, the Holy Spirit makes us a part of the body of Christ. And the church local baptism after you're saved makes you a part of the membership of the church, just like the Holy Spirit has made you a part of the body of Christ. And it is one day going to be with the Lord and purified and cleansed and sanctified and forever with the Lord. And we're looking forward to that day. We have a wonderful future to look forward to. The church today exists in the realm of the prince of the power of the air. In Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible says that we have satanic influence in this present world in which we live. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3 and 4, the Bible tells us that Satan is the unholy god of this present world. He has a ruling over this present world, satanic influence. Our old nature is appealed to. Before we were saved, we were under his strings like puppets, heading to our destruction and to hell and for all eternity. But Christ intervened and saved us and changed our life, and we serve a new Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians 1:4, the Bible says, Jesus gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. So when the rapture occurs, we're going to heaven to be with the Lord, and we're going to leave behind this present evil world in which we live. Everything in this world will rust, bust, and collect dust, and it's all going to pass away one day. By fire, the Bible tells us that the earth is going to be purged with fire, and that everything left behind is going to be destroyed. And so the only thing eternal is what we put in heaven today and us ourselves that are going to heaven today and the Word of God. It is forever settled in heaven, and we're going home one day to be with the Lord. The church will be called up to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. That called out assembly will assemble one day when we go to heaven. The dead in Christ will rise first. We which are alive and remain be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus shall we ever be with the Lord. The church is His body. The church is also referred to as His bride. The husband and wife relationship on earth is a symbol and a type and a picture of the bride of Christ as the church. Ephesians 5 and verse 25. Turn there with me if you would. Ephesians 5 and verse 25. Coming up on Valentine. We had the Valentine banquet last night. Hope you all have a wonderful Valentine and express your love to one another. The Bible reminds us of the importance of this in Ephesians 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now, we're not quite there yet, my friends, but we will be when we go to be with the Lord. We're going to be cleansed. We're going to be sanctified. We are already justified in the eyes of God. And all of that will take place so that we will be a glorious church presented unto the Lord. If you'd like to look, I'm going to read from Revelation chapter 19 and chapter 21. Revelation 19, verse 7 says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. In chapter 21 and verse 9 and 10, Scripture says, and there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of plagues, last plagues, and talked to me, saying, come up hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. He carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. In that day, the bride will be in the new Jerusalem, and we will come down out of heaven with the Lord in the future. When the rapture occurs, the believers are going to be assembled, called out of this present evil world to meet the Lord in the air. And there will be two great events that will take place with us as His church. There will be the judgment seat first and foremost. The Bible says that we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That is a different judgment than in Revelation 20, where Christ sits on the great white throne and judges all the lost that will be cast into the lake of fire for all eternity. Our judgment doesn't deal with heaven or hell. That's a settled matter when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. And thanks be unto God that it is, because we don't earn it, we don't deserve it, and we couldn't keep it if it was dependent upon us and our works. But God saves us and keeps us by His power. Praise the Lord for that. I forgot to mention, I see folks sitting here. Stephanie Hurley reminds me that I was going to mention Jason's dad's going to the doctor tomorrow. Please pray for him. When the rapture occurs, we'll be with the Lord and the judgment seat of Christ take place. The second thing is the marriage supper of the Lamb. The bride will be joined to the husband. The nation of Israel understood the events of a wedding and the symbols and the metaphors of a bride and a wife and a husband and how the marriage goes together. First of all, the parents would arrange a contract of engagement between two people. There would be a dowry. A price had to be paid. Jesus entered into a contract with us when we believed on Him as our Savior, and He paid the dowry with His own blood on Calvary's cross. He redeemed us, ransomed us from the penalty of our sins. Mary and Joseph were in a contract marriage. It is said Mary was his espoused wife. An engagement in their land meant much more than an engagement does here. It's not just a ring, and it don't give you the right to start doing more things together than you did before. marriage is for that. The sexual union is for marriage, and that's what makes the marriage united. But in our country, engagement is just a promise and a ring and that sort of thing, and a lot of times it don't work out. But in their land, it was a contract that almost nothing could void, unless there was immorality or something, as people thought there was in Mary's case. Before they came together, she was found with child, but it was of the Holy Ghost. It was the Lord Jesus Christ to be born of a virgin, but he was to be born in a contracted marriage between a man and a woman, and they did not consummate the marriage until after Christ was born. But then, contrary to what some teach, Mary does not become exalted to be worshipped. Mary is to be praised for who she was and what she did. But the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who is to be worshipped. And Mary is not a mediator between God and man. Jesus Christ is the only mediator between God and man. And that Mary did not remain a virgin after giving birth to Christ. They had several more children, and there are several texts of Scripture to prove that. His whole family stood waiting outside when gatherings came, and Jesus said, "All of these that are hearing me are like my brothers and sisters. I don't distinguish my immediate family more." The Bible tells us his immediate brothers did not believe on him as the Savior until after the resurrection from the dead. And then they all believed on him, and James and Jude are two of his brothers that give us writings in the Scripture. And they consider themselves, Jude says he's the servant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James. You see, he didn't exalt himself to say, "I'm the brother of the Lord Jesus Christ." He said, "I'm the servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm the brother of James, who was his brother as well." The consummation has not yet taken place between Christ and the church. That's going to take place in heaven when the contract will be fulfilled. According to manners and customs, the groom and his wedding party will come for the bride and take her back to the home that has been prepared. And there'll be a marriage feast that will take place, and then a uniting of the bride and the groom. It is evident that we are legally and morally joined to the Lord Jesus Christ when we received him as our Savior. We entered into a contractual agreement between us and God the Father. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, we are united to God. We become one of his own. We become a part of the family. You say, "Well, we had sins and debts that we owed unto God." Yes, and Jesus paid them all when he died on Calvary's cross. The dowry has been paid. In Revelation 19, in verse number 6, Scripture says, "I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude and the voice of many waters and the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready." The bridegroom has gone to prepare a place for us and will come again to take us to that place. In Ephesians 5, we know the church is going to be cleansed and sanctified and made glorious before the Lord like a bride does as she puts on her white dress and her veils and special clothing and all of the preparation and all of the pomp and ceremony of the wedding celebration. Many of us watched on the TV for several hours when Diana and the prince got married, and all of the pomp and ceremony that went along with that royalty of a wedding. I want to say to you, that's going to pale into insignificance when we go home to be with the Lord and are united to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says the church has a part in making herself ready like a bride, a cleansing, a sanctification. We shed this old body, and then we go before the judgment seat, and he will present unto us a glorious church to the Father, without spot, without wrinkle, and without blemish. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18 through 23, I just give you a little paraphrase of my own here. "Father, this is my bride for whom I died, for whom the Holy Spirit brought unto me, and you have accepted. reconciled through his death. Now we are presented, the scripture says, holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. Jude, verse 20 through 25, makes another reference to that, how Christ is able to cleanse us in such a way that we are unblameable, holy, unreprovable in the sight of God. Glorious future we have to look forward to. And at the judgment seat, there'll be crowns that will be issued. Revelation tells us of those with crowns casting them at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ as an acknowledgement that He is worthy of all honor and praise and glory. And it's only by His grace that we will be in that wonderful place in the future. The true church is a divine institution founded by God. Its ordinances are baptism and the Lord's Supper. Through them, when they are instituted, we are identified with the Lord in baptism, in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. That's why as good Baptists, we don't sprinkle people on the top of the head. We are deep water Baptists, my friends. We're going to show you the symbol of burial, death and burial. Some folks get a little concerned about water. They always say, you're not going to drown me, are you now? No, but it is a symbol of death, my friends. You're going down under, you know, just like getting buried. But you're going to get resurrected to a new life, to live for the Lord, cleansed of your sin. That water doesn't wash your sins away. That gets washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. But it is the symbol that you're now identified with Him in that blood-washed body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then when we observe the Lord's Supper, it reminds us first to love Him for the suffering and bleeding and dying and the tearing of His body and all those things He did for us on Calvary. We are reminded every time in remembrance, it says on this table, every time we observe the Lord's table, we are reminded of His death, burial, resurrection until He comes. We're looking for that coming. We're longing for that coming. If we love Him, we're going to be expectant of His coming and looking for His coming. And that's a wonderful reminder to us that we need constantly to clean our life up and be right with the Lord and close to God as we observe that remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the objective of the church is to reproduce after its own kind, like a family relationship where you have children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. The church is to have children. The church is to lead people to Christ, and they become a part of the family of God. And then they are to reproduce, and then they are to reproduce, and they are to reproduce. And as a flock of God, if we reproduce like we ought to reproduce, we fill this building and need to have another service to fill it up again, because we're reproducing after our own kind and making disciples for the Lord Jesus Christ. It comes by the power of God's Spirit upon the very Word of God that we have the authority to reconcile lost sinners to God, that they can find forgiveness of their sin and become a part of the family of God. And then we teach them and train them because they are to make disciples for the Lord Jesus Christ. When we see Him, we're going to be like Him. We're going to get a body like His body. We're going to be glorious in the sight of God, a part of His family. John 1:11-12, He came to His own, and His own received Him not, but to as many as received Him. To them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. 1 John 3 says, Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. We're part of His family. He's not going to leave us behind. We're part of His church. We're part of the bride. He's going to come for the bride one day. And I believe with all that's happening in the world, it ought to be really soon. When we go in answer to His call. We go in transformation is complete. Not only is Christ preparing a place for us, but He will shower us with rewards, with crowns, with blessings. Paul thought of that in 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8. He talked about finishing the course that God has given to him, and he'd fought a good fight. He said, there's a crown laid up for me at the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then he said something more. You think Paul, well, Paul certainly deserved a crown, all he went through and all he did for God. He deserves many crowns. But he said, not for me only, but for all those who love His appearing. my friend, the least of us who've been saved the least, who've done the least, who've known the least, we're going to be rewarded when we go home to be with the Lord. And we're going to be changed and sanctified and glorified so that we'll be presented unto God the Father as the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. My brethren, let us walk worthy of the calling of which we've been called. Let us be faithful unto Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. Remembering that if we go through trouble or trial or persecution, if we suffer for Him, we shall reign with Him, the Scripture says in 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 12. We have a great future to look forward to. To the Jewish believers, the Hebrews is written in chapter 12 and verse number 22. The Scripture says, "But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to the innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than Abel." Just prior to that, he set them up by saying, you're not like Moses, who had to appear before Mount Zion on earth with the presence of God up there, and a horrible and terrible sight he saw of the thunder and lightning and the fear and the quaking of the people. The people said, "Moses, you speak with God, but don't let Him speak to us. We're afraid." And Moses went up on that mountain and met with God in a horrific sight that brought fear and trembling. It's not like that for the believers, my friend. We're going to Mount Zion in heaven, the city of the living God in heavenly Jerusalem, where the angels are and the general assembly and the church of the firstborn and Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. That doesn't just apply to the Jews, my friend. It applies to all the believers who know the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll be in the new Jerusalem with the Lord as the bride of Christ. The church will have a special place. We don't replace Israel. Israel has a special place with the Lord in the future. And we're longing for those new heavens and a new earth where we'll dwell with Him forever and forever. The Bible has a lot to say about heaven, my friends. It's important we learn it. We think about it. We long for it because our citizenship's already there. Our Savior's there preparing a place for us. And one day we're going to be there. We're going to live with the Lord. It's going to be a wonderful time. Judgment's going to be happening on the earth while we're up there with the Lord. The tribulation and the battle of Armageddon and the cleansing. And then we're going to come back and be with the Lord when He sets up His kingdom. But that's not all. There's coming a day where there'll be the new heaven and the new earth, and we'll dwell with Him forever and forever. We've got a glorious future to look forward to. Let's learn about it. Let's think about it. Let's try to walk worthy of it. Let's stand together. Lord, bless Your people, I pray, in this invitation. Help us tonight in the service. Brother Dick's going to speak for us. I hope you'll be back at 6 o'clock. The blessings practice while the preacher's preaching. And we'll hear a good message from God's Word from one of our good men. Let's pray and be dismissed in our invitation. You come forward to have someone counsel with you, pray with you if you need to be saved. If you have a counseling need, come and we'll help you. And then we'll be dismissed from the church service. Sam, come and lead us.